Daf is Daf Lamin Beis. Today's learning is sponsored by Zevin Bani Polanski, Lilian Ishbas Tanchum, Uvein Ben Levi Zalman, the Neshama Shev Aliyah. And good Chodesh, everyone. So let's begin at the bottom of Lamin Aleph Lamin Beis. Today is a very technical Daf about various psulim of Lulav and Hadassim. So Gemara begins there, two lines at the bottom of Lamin Aleph Lamin Beis. Nektam Rosho, if the top of the Lulav was snapped off, it's puzzle. So Amr of Huna, Lo Shanu El Nektam, it's only true if it was snapped off. About nistak, if it was split kosher, that would actually be acceptable. Now, don't be confused. Nistak here is not referring to, we'll get to when the double-leafed lulav gets split. We're not talking about that. We're talking about when the two leaves are separate from each other, as is. If there's too much of a split that way, that's what we're talking about. It's kosher, but we'll get to when the tiyomas is split. That's going to be on daf lamed beis. The Gemara says, v'hatanya, but don't we have a brayse that proves to us that nistak is actually pasul? What does the brayse say? V'hatanya, lulav kafif, if the lulav is bent, curved in a certain direction, or if it's what's called covets, which Rashi explains on the top, covets means shiyotin b'shidra shela uksin kimin kotin. There's some thorns coming out of the spine of the lulav. Or if it's saduk, which is the cracked lulav, akum dome lemagel, if it's curved, similar to a sickle, all of these are puzzle. Included on this list is nistak, that's the question. But before answering the question yet, the Gemara continues the brayse and says, charis, if it's charis, which Rashi explains is, it's very hard. The lulav, if you wait over time, a number of years, it begins to get very, very hard and dried out, that's also puzzle. If it's dome lecharis, if it's only similar to charis, but not actually completely dried out, that would be kosher, that would be acceptable. Either way, the brayse clearly states here that nistak is kosher, yet earlier we said nistak was actually pasul versus kosher. So Gemara explains, Amar Papa David kihimnak. What's kimnak? Himnak, Rashi explains, is some type of a tool that was used by the sofrim. And if you look at Rashi to explain here, says Rashi, look at Amar Papa hadikatani sadik pasul, that which we said is sadik is unacceptable. Lav shenistiku Rashi alan oshid, not where the split of the leaves or the even the spine was split, that's actually acceptable. Ella the avid ki himnuk, which is called potspir shel barzel shel sofer, some type of tool used by a sofer. Sheyesh lo shnei roshim, they're actually two heads. It kind of splits like a significant split. But rosh echad mefutzal, and it's divided like they mefutzal is a lashon they use when you have like a deer's horn begin to spread out and disperse. It's split like that. That's a large split. That's where we say it's possible. But when the split is just that it's close to each other, we're not giving a real sheer measurement here. That's where acceptable. So the difference is how big the split is. So now the Gemara says, Akum domil lemagel. So if it's curved so much so like a sickle, it's a real strong curve, that we just said above in the Braisa, that's pasul. So Amr Rava, Rava says, Lo amrin elo lefanav, only true if it's bent forward would it be pasul. Aval la'achorav, if it's bent backwards, that's actually acceptable, b'yasahu, because the way the lulav is created actually has a slight curve. So sometimes the curve could be very strong in the back, that's actually acceptable, that's just the way it grew. But if it's bent forward, that's considered abnormal, that's where it would be pasul. So what about if it's bent towards the side, it curves to the side in a significant way? So here we have a machlokas. The Gemara says, Amr of Nachman, letzdadim kilafan of dami, and it would be pasul. If it's curved strongly to the left or to the right, that's no different than being curved forward, which would be pasul. However, others say, Amri le kilachor of dami, no, that's like bent backwards, which is the briyasa. That's normal and natural. So Amr Rava, Rava says, hai lulava.
If you have a lulav that only has leaves on one side of the shidra, but there are zero leaves on the other side, that's also possible. Interesting language, Gemara, you call it a balmum. That's unacceptable. I mentioned a few days ago that oftentimes we're going to see the word balmum or similar cases, or similar comparisons of a lulav to a karbon. Here's yet another example. Gemara then quotes from the Mishnah, nifritzu olav, if the leaves actually fell off, it's possible. So as opposed to nifridu, where they were still connected, but they just separated from them, but still connected in the bottom, that was acceptable. So Gemara explains, Amar Papa, nifritsu David ki chufi. They made it like a broom. Their brooms, they used to take like lulav branches or leaves. They were separate, but they tied them at the end, and that was their broom. So that's where we say it's unacceptable. But nifridu, different ifrude. If they just split from each other, but they still remained attached at the bottom, that's what the Mishnah means, it's acceptable. So now the Gemara asks the big question. This is the biggest concern.
That nifritzu is that they're completely...
completely detached. Completely detached. And you just tied it together. Nifritzu is that they're still attached to the bottom, just that they split from the top. So now the Gemara says, this is the number one psul that comes for the lulavim. Most lulavim have this, not most have, but this is the one thing you really have to look for in a lulav. And that's the following. Baira Papa Nechlaka Hatiomes Mao. If the Tiomas splits, that Tiomas means a twin almost. A Tiomim is like twins. So every leaf of the lulav comes attached to each other. It's like a glue, and you have to separate the two of them. It looks like one leaf, but if you look closely, they're actually two attached to each other. If that gets split, would that be acceptable or not? So what is this referring to? So there's actually a three-way machlokas here to understand this case here. So Rashi says, Rashi writes around halfway down the narrow line, to nechleka hatiomes, shnei olin elyonin emtsoim, the top two leaves, shesham hashidra kola, where the spine stops, nechleka zemizet, the leaves are split, and also Rashi adds, v'nistika hashidra ad ha'olin shlamata mehem, and the shidra also splits. So unclear what Rashi refers to the split there, the shidra. But the shidra really typically means like the hard wood in the center, the green wood. The leaf on top is not the shidra. It sounds like Rashi thinks that the leaf on top is a continuation of that same shidra. So that's his understanding. Others think Rashi means, no, the actual shidra splits in half. That's one pshat. The other pshat is the Rambam, who holds that no, when all the leaves, if most of the leaves are split, forgetting the middle, but we always look at the middle leaf, not the middle leaf at all. If most of the leaves from all directions are split, that's a problem. But if most of them are connected, even if the top middle one is split, that's acceptable for the Rambam. And the way we pask in the Ramav is all we care about is that top leaf. We look at that top leaf. If that top leaf is split, it's a problem. If it's attached, it's okay, even if the other ones were to be split. So we just concern with that middle one. Now, sometimes the post can point out, you sometimes have a lulav, we have two middle leaves. Then you have to make sure both middle leaves are actually remain attached. Sometimes, mostly, it's the middle one, but sometimes you do have two even ones. Now, the how much does have to be split to be puzzle? So Poskim say, if most of it is split, from the top of the shidra, the top of the leaf, that area, if most of that's split, that's a problem. If only a little bit is split, that's actually okay. But they say is the concern is, if it's a little bit split, when you begin to do nanuim, it might cause it to split mostly, and therefore they say don't have it split at all. The Taz allows you to have a split of up until a tefach. The Chai Adam says in Mishabura, even a tiny bit, even a kol shu, will be a problem because we're concerned over time it will split more and more. So that's the biggest concern. Make sure it's split to the top. So what's the halacha? I told you what the halacha is, but the Gemara asks the question, what's the din of nechleka hatiyomes mahu? What if it splits? What's the din? So Tashma, Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, nitla tiyomes pasul. If you remove the tiyomes as possible, what does nitla mean? My lav, hu adin nechleka? Is it not telling me, just if like if you take it, so too if it's split, it's equally possible? No, lo nitla shiny. Maybe only if the top was removed. The ha chaser le, it's chaser. But maybe if it's split, nothing's missing. Maybe that's still acceptable. Ikadami, others say, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Yishuv ben Levi, nechleka tiyomes nase kimisha nitla tiyomes pasul. The ikadami, which is how we paskin, if the top was split, it's as if it was removed, and it would be pasul as well. Marna quotes the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda Omer, in the Mishnah, said that if, let's say, the leaves were still attached to the lulav on the bottom, but began to split off from the top, all you have to do is you have to tie it, make sure it stays wrapped with each other on top. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, Kapos Timarim. That's the pasuk that describes a lulav. Kapos Timarim, which means many dates, you kind of wrap the dates with each other. So what's pshat here? Kapos means im haya parud yikaptenu. If the leaves begin to separate on top, tie them together, so it looks like one unit going up. That's the drasha. So Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Mimayda hai Kapos Timarim dilulavahu. Who said Kapos Tamarim as described in the Torah is referring to a lulav? Maybe Ema, so now the Gemara is going to go through different parts of the date tree. A little confusing, we don't know how this works, but we have to learn along with Rashi to explain the different parts of the tree. So who says it's referring to the lulav? Maybe Ema, Charusa, maybe it's the Charusa, which is what we had already on top here, the hard part of the wood. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here, Charusa, Anaf Hadekel, branch of the tree, if it over 2 or 3 years, that branch begins to get very, very hard. Many lulavim actually sprout from this branch. But their leaves fell off. So lulav, if the lulav remains on the tree over time, 2 or 3 years, it begins to become hard like wood itself. So begins the lulav over time, the leaves begin to spread out. And begins to be hard, and now it looks like a tree, a hard tree. That's what it looks like. So the Gemara says, that's not good. Why is that not the lulav? Maybe that's the lulav, the hard lulav. Maybe that's what the lulav is referring to, Kapos Tamarim. Gemara says, can't be, because ba'inan kafos v'lekam. You have to have the ability to tie them to each other. But this harusa got so hard, you cannot actually bend the leaves back. The branches are too hard, so that can't be called kapos. So ema maybe refers to another part of the tree, ufsa. So what's ufsa? So Rashi explains here, around seven narrow lines up, ema ufsa is shtila mi'ikra dekel, from the trunk of the tree. Shu chalak, it's very smooth. Ve'ein anaf yotu mimenu lekan lekan. There are no branches sprouting from it. Shein lecha kapos heimanu. It's just a piece of wood, that's all. Maybe that's what it's referring to. Gemara says it can't be referring to that part of the tree, because kapos michal dikaparid. When you have to, the pasuk says kapos marm, to wrap them around, there must be that which needs to be wrapped around. But this part of the tree, the trunk, apparently has no branches, no leaves coming from it. There's nothing to wrap. So then the Gemara says, v'hai kapos v'omedu liyom. This already is wrapped to each other. It's already tight with each other. There's nothing to bring back in. So that can't be referring to what the pasuk is referring to. V'eim kufra, right? It's referring to the kufra, which Rashi says it's also a hard part of the tree, where over time it gets very hard, but didn't have the complete hardening yet. It was in the process. It wasn't 2 full years of hardening, so it's somewhat hard, but not fully hard. So maybe that's what it's referring to, because that you actually can bend. It's not hard enough. You can still bend it, and you can still accomplish kapos. And to this, the Gemara says, no. Amr Abai Abai says, that part of the tree is not good enough, because darche, darche nom, v'chol nisiv ha'oseh ha'shom, ksiv, has to be very nice. Apparently, this part of the tree has the thorns growing from it, which is not nice. You might hurt yourself holding the lulav, and therefore we knocked out all the possibilities. The lulav kapos tamarim is what we, of course, use as a lulav. Gemara then says further, Amr le Rava Tosfa, that was his name, le Ravina, he says to Ravina, ve'ema tarti. Maybe you require two lulavim, because the pasuk says kapos tamarim. Kapos means multiple. Maybe you should require two lulavim. Gemara says that you don't need two, because ve'ema tarti, it says two. So the suggestion is two clusters of dates. If you read the pasuk literally, it says kapos tamar means two clusters of dates, not lulav branches, but the dates themselves. Gemara says you can't have two clusters of grape of dates, because kapas ksiv. Although we pronounce it as kapos, it's written as kapas, which is the singular. So the Gemara says it can't be multiple tamar. So emachada, maybe you have to have one date. Maybe that's what it should be. Gemara says lahu kaf. That we call kaf, kapos tamarim. We wouldn't call that as one date, and therefore, based on these different understandings, kapos tamarim is referring to the lulavim that grow from these date trees. Okay, excellent. Gemara now says, quotes from the Mishnah as well, that tinei har habarzel ksheira. If you find lulavim that are grown on this particular mountain, then it's acceptable as well. So Abai comes and qualifies that statement. It's not true. Not all lulavim that grown on this mountain is good. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela sheroshu shelzeh magil etzad ikaro shelzeh, that the top of one leaf has to reach the root of the other leaf. Apparently, these lulavim that grew on this mountain, it wasn't like our lulavim where the leaves go all the way up together, and there's a bit of a difference. The one lulav leaf stopped here, and the next one began. There was a big separation between each leaf. So the Gemara says, if the top of the leaf below it did not reach the bottom of the next leaf, there's a big separation, that's actually unacceptable. Aval ain't, so again, lo shanu ela, the only time it's acceptable is sherosho shelzeh, the leaf of the bottom, the head of the bottom leaf, is magia letzad ikaro shelzeh, reaches the bottom of the next leaf on top. Aval ain't rosho shelzeh, magia letzad ikaro shelzeh. If the top of the bottom leaf does not reach the bottom of the next leaf up, hareze apostle, that's unacceptable. And the Braisa says the same thing, it echoes this halacha, tanya nami hachi, the Braisa says the same thing, tine har barzel psula. Of Hotanan, Anantan, Kishera. We said it's acceptable. And the Shmamina, how do you reconcile between the steer and the bride? Says, Shmamina, Kabai, Shmamina. One is where the Rosh Hashazeh, Magili, Karo Shazeh. And when it's unacceptable is when the Rosh Hashazeh, Eino, Magili, Zeh. Gemara says in the top of Lamed Beis and Beis, same idea, but it was presented slightly differently. The Ika, the Ramila, others begin this as a question. Mirma Tanan, one Mishnah says, Sinei Har Barzel Kasher, Vatanya Psula, Amar Abaye Lo Kasher, Kan She Rosho Shoze Magil Azeh, Letzad Ikaro Shoze, that's where it's Kasher, and Kan She Ein Rosho Shoze Magil Letzad Ikaro Shoze. Gemara now has an interesting comment, says the Gemara. Amr Rebbe Marion, Amr Rebbe Shuben Levi. Amrila, others say, Tani, Rabba Bar Beri, Mishim Rabbi Yochim and Zakai, Shtei Tamaros Yesh Begay Ben Hinnom. There were two date trees that were situated by an area, a valley called Gay Ben Hinnom, which is right outside Yerushalayim, actually. You can see there's an area called Gay Ben Hinnom. It's a little valley. V'ola Ashan Mi Benem, and smoke comes out from between these two date trees. V'zehu sheshaninu tinei har barzel ksheros. These were the two date trees we're referring to in the Mishnah. That's acceptable. If you take a lulav from these two date trees, that's acceptable. And zehu zuhu pischa shel Gehenim. These are one of the entryways into Gehenim. This area where the smoke came from between these two date trees, that's the entrance way. But there are a few other entrance ways into to Gehenim. And that's why it's called, this mountain is called Gei Ben Hinnom. Gemara now says, our Mishnah taught us that a lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tvachim is acceptable. It has to be three tvachim high. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shir Hadas V'Rava, Shlosha, V'Lulav Arba. Shmuel argues on the Mishnah and says that the Lulav actually has to be four Tvachim, Kidei, She Lulav, Yotim, and Hadas Tevach. This way, that the Lulav is at least one Tevach longer, higher than the Hadasim. Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Shidro, She Lulav, Tzarech, She Yetze, Min Hadas Tevach. So while Shmuel is referring to the leaf, has to be one tefach high. Rabbi Yochanan assumes that the shidra has to be one tefach high. People oftentimes don't know this halacha. When they're trying to measure that the lulav goes above the hadasim, that's the din, they view the top of the lulav being higher than the hadasim. It's not true. You have to look at the shidra. The spine of the lulav has to be above the hadasim, which means the tip of the lulav is going to be much higher than the hadasim. So according to Shmuel, we actually measure from the leaf, including the leaf, but Rabbi Yochanan, which is how we paskin, we measure from the shidra. The shidra must be four tefachim high. That's the din. So Gemara then says, Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, lulav sheish bo gimel tefachim kedei lananebo. Kasher. So our Mishnah goes against both the shitas, or they both go against the Mishnah. Our Mishnah says our lulav must be three tefachim high. They said four tefachim high. So how could that be? And why did it have to be three tefachim high? So you could, it's long enough to shake it. So Gemara says, no, ema u kedei lananebo kasher. It has to be three tefachim high plus one extra tefach to allow you to shake it, and that gives a total of four tefachim. And yet, and how you interpret the four tefach, mar kadisei. One thinks that four tefach is the shidra's four tefachim, and the other one, Shmuel found that four tefachim is referring to the leaves, but either way, it's four tefachim somehow. There's an interesting machlokas, whether this fourth shir, this fourth tefach, is a din deraisa or simply a din derabanan. The Binyan Tzion, who's the Aruch HaNer in the Tshuva, he says, what if a person could only find the lulav that's three tefachim high? Could you say a bracha on such a lulav? And he assumed that you're allowed to. This additional fourth tefach, he assumed, was only a din derabanan, and if you're stuck, if you have a three tefach high, tall lulav, that's actually acceptable, whereby you can recite a bracha on it. While others would say, no, the four tefachim is a shir deraisa. If you don't have four tefachim, you certainly cannot say a bracha. Gemara now quotes a braisa, tashma. Shir hadas, v'rava, shlosha, v'lulav arba. So we see from here that the lulav has to be four tefachim high. My la behade olin is not referring to the leaves, but not referring to the shidra. And Gemara says, lo, levad mi olin. It has to be four tefachim, not including the leaves, meaning the shidra itself must be four tefachim, which is again how we assume l'halach. So Gemara now says, Gufa, we just said above, that the shir of hadas, v'rava is shlosha, v'lulav is arba. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, be'ama bas chamisha tvachim. So Rabbi Tarfon has a huge chumrah. So we say in the Mishnah that the lulav is only four, we say in the brayse above rather, the lulav is four tvachim. Rabbi Tarfon comes along and says, Aspi, five tvachim of an ama. So an ama, there are two types of amas. An ama is typically, we'll call, my elbow to the middle finger is called an ama. You could split this up into six tvachim or five tvachim. If it's split into six ways, that's a small tefach. If you split the ama into five ways, that's actually a much larger tefach than if you were split into six ways. So he required you to have five tvachim for an ama. And Rashi explains here that the havamina we're referring to here is that the hadasim and aravos are not three tvachim high, but they actually have to be five tvachim high. That's the havamina of the Gemara right now. He's referring to the hadasim and aravos. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Shari le mari le Reb Tarfon. Please be moch Reb Tarfon for saying what he had said. We can't accept Reb Tarfon for requiring five tefachim of hadasim. Why not? Hashta avo shlosha lo mishkachina be. One of the dinim of hadasim is that you have to have three leaves wrapped around each layer. We'll see that on the bottom of the amud here. Now, it's almost impossible to find them wrapped around within three tefachim. If you have three tefachim of hadasim, to have them all wrapped around in shalshelos is very hard. If you could barely find it for three tefachim, how in the world are you going to find five tefachim hadasim that's going to satisfy that requirement? It's almost impossible. So please be mochlim. He says again, Nesharu le mari le Reb Tarfon. Please forgive Reb Tarfon. Hashta avos shlosha lo mishkachinan. Bas hamish mibar. You're going to require five tefachim, which is almost impossible. So Gemara says, no. You misunderstood what Reb Tarfon was saying. We're going to have two different pshatim, how to interpret the five tefachim of Reb Tarfon. So Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained to us as follows. Amar,
Amma bas shisha tvachim, also bas chamisha. What you have to do is take a typical amma. The standard amma is six tvachim. So this is an amma right now. So normally we divide this into six tvachim. Now take that same amma, divide it into five tvachim only, and you're going to have a larger tvachim. So use larger tvachim right now. That's what he's trying to tell you. And use those large tvachim, and with those, make them tseimem shlosha lahadas. Have three tvachim large hadasim, using the larger tefach, and ashar lulav, and use the same large tvachim to make four lulavim. He's not arguing on how tall they have to be. It's three tvachim per dasim aravos and four tvachim for lulav. He's just arguing what type of tefach. Do you use a small tefach, a six tefach amma type, or five tvachim in an amma, which are larger tvachim? He says use your larger tvachim. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Tarfon. So Gemara says, wait a second. Let's understand this. Kama havalu, how large are these now new tvachim? Of the five tvachim ammas, how large are they? How much larger are they than the smaller tvachim? So Gemara says, Kama havalei, tlasa utlasa chumshe. Turns out that the larger tvachim, three of the larger tvachim, are equal to 3 3/5 of the smaller tvachim. Right? Small tvachim will end here, let's say, and the larger tvachim will end here. So in order to get the discrepancy, you need three small tvachim plus 3/5 of a small tefach to equal the three large tvachim. That's what comes out. So now, based on this, we have a big kasha. Kasha de Shmuel, because Hacha Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shir Hadasa Rav Shlosha. He says all you need is three tvachim. That's all, three typical tvachim. Well, Hasim, over there we have a statement in the name of Shmuel Amar Rav Huna Amar Shmuel Halacha Kribi Tarfom, which means you have to have a larger tvachim. So why would Shmuel give you this impression as if we're trying to misimpression? Mika din, you need large tvachim. So why would he say another statement, you just need three tvachim? He should qualify, you need three large tvachim. That's very confusing. So you're going to get the wrong halacha, the wrong shear. So Gemara says, lo dak, he wasn't precise. You're right, he requires a larger shear, the larger tvachim. But once in a while, people are not so accurate. He just said, get three regular tvachim. Okay, you might be off because you really need large tvachim, but he wasn't so precise. Gemara said, wait a second. Ey madar mina lo dak l'chumra. I understand a person might not be so accurate and precise if you might make a mistake and have larger tvachim. Okay, fine. You might overshoot, which is better. But l'kula miyamrina l'odak, but would you say that he's mekel? That he says, oh, it's okay if you have smaller, three smaller shear of tvachim, that's acceptable. You're going to have the wrong shear. That won't be right. If a person is inaccurate, it's okay to be inaccurate if you're going to be or l'chumra. This way, at least he'll get the mitzvah. But to be inaccurate and be l'kula and not get the mitzvah, that wouldn't make any sense. So we rejected that whole interpretation of Rav Dimi. That interpretation is incorrect. So rather, what's the interpretation? Ki asa Ravin. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he gave us the correct interpretation. What was the interpretation? Amar, take an amma bas chamisha tvachim. Take an amma of five large tvachim and make it into smaller tvachim. It's the opposite direction. Also shisha. Now using the smaller tvachim, don't use a larger tvachim with a five tvachim per amma. Use a six tvachim per amma, which are smaller shirim, and now everything makes sense. So now the Gemara, that's what Rav Tarfon was saying. He's being more makil. Use smaller shirim. And he says, Asa shisha, tseimeyam shlosha lehadas. Use a small three tvachim for the hadasim, and shar, and use the four tvachim for lulav, all small shirim. And kama havalu, how much is it? What's the ratio? I mean, what's the ratio of large tvachim to smaller tvachim, have like treyu palka. In other words, it takes 2.5 large tvachim to get to three small tvachim. So three small tvachim is this, and you only need 2.5 large tvachim to have the same amount. Now with this, so kasha, there's a contradiction. Because on one hand he says you need three tvachim. Well, on the other hand he says we pass a Rabbi Tarfon, which is a smaller tvachim. So which is really only 2.5 tvachim. So Gemara says, lo dak, he wasn't so precise. Ah, that makes sense now. Haini l'chumra, because lo dak, that's what it means he wasn't precise on the chumra level. Dam Rav Huna Amar Shmuel Halacha Kri Tarfon. In other words, when he said halacha is three tvachim, so you would think you need three large tvachim. That's actually inaccurate. You actually need only 2.5 large tvachim. So even though he passed like Rav Tarfon, only 2.5 tvachim are necessary, it was okay for him to be imprecise on the chumra end, because either way, even if you are machmir for three big tvachim, you'll still have the proper shear and be yotze the mitzvah. Okay, that ends our discussion of lulav. Let's begin the next Mishnah when it comes to hadasim.
I mean, 2 and 2.5 is 4 and 5, not 5 and 6.
I have to think about it, I'm not sure. I don't know. I assume it does work out, but I didn't do the math, actually.
So the Mishnah then says, Hadas HaGazul HaYavesh Pasul. If you have a stolen Hadas, or you have a dried Hadas, it's Pasul. It's not Lachem, it's not Hadar. Shall Sheira v'shal Ir Nadachas, if it comes from an Asherah tree or an Ir Nadachas, it's also Pasul, because you have to burn it. Niktam Rosh, if the top of it was snipped off, or Nifritu Olav, or the leaves fell off from the Hadasim, Oshayu Anava, but Merubos Me'olav, or there are more, they used to have berries, some of the Hadasim have berries that grow on them. If berries grow, and there are more berries than leaves on Hadasim, that's also Pasul. Vim Mi'atim, if you did remove the berries, then that actually would make it kosher. But in Mamatin B'yamta, but you cannot remove the berries on Yamta, because that's actually Tikkun Mana, that makes it into a good Hadasa, and therefore it'd be Asr on Yamta. So Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan, the Braisa quotes a pasuk that describes what Hadasim are, Anaf Eitz Avos. So what does it mean, Anaf Eitz Avos? There's a branch with Avos, Shanaf Ava Chofen Es Eitzo, where the leaves kind of wrap around, they cover up the branch. V'ezehu, Havi Omer Zahadas, where the branches, the leaves, kind of wrap around, they snug around the branch, it covers it up. That's what Hadasim are. V'eima Zesa, maybe Zesa, apparently olive trees, the leaves also wrap around the branch and cover it up. So maybe it's referring to an olive branch. So Gemara says, Avos Veleka, Avos means you need to have at each area where the leaves come out, you have to have a triple, a shalshelos, three of them. Apparently the olive branches don't have that, so it doesn't qualify as Avos, this little shalshelos. V'eima Dulva, apparently duva, some type of branch, I don't know exactly what it is, but also has this little shalshelos going around it, but since it doesn't cover most of the branch, it doesn't qualify. Veima hirduf, which is another type of branch apparently, which also has the little shalshelos and it covers most of the branch. And amar abaye darche darchenom vulekam, and apparently since this is very sharp, has some thorns, is not considered a darchenom. And Rav Amar, a different pasuk he quoted, Mehacha ha'emes v'asham ahavo. You have to have things that are nice and loving, and this branch is sharp, you could get hurt. And therefore, based on this, we're able to assume that the eight avos is referring to Hadasim as we know. The Baisa says, Tani Rabbanan kalua kimin kliya, that's kind of wrapped around with the shalshelos. Each level has three leaves coming from it. The domer l'shalshelos, zeo hadas, that's what Hadasim are. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Amar, anaf eight avos, eight shetam eto upirio shava. He argues and says, no, it's referring to a type of branch whereby the wood and the fruit taste the same. That's Hadasim. Two different interpretations how to get to the same point, but different drashas. The Tana, the Gemara quotes a Brice, eight avos kasher, v'she'ena avos pasul. Only if it has this shalshelos of three leaves coming from each point, it's acceptable, but if it's not tripled, then it's not acceptable. Hechidami avos, what exactly is avos? So Amar Vihuda, Vihuda kaima telasa, telasa, tarfe, bikina, that each level, there are three leaves sprouting from that area. Rav Kana Amar, afilu trei v'chad, he accepted even if two on one level, and one's a little higher, one's a little lower, that's also acceptable. There are a lot of dinim when it comes to the shiurim, it's almost impossible to have them so exact, all three in the same line. How much discrepancy do we allow? We're talking about centimeters here. How much discrepancy? There are different shiurim. The Chazon Ish has a different shiur. How much we accept? But he has some level of discrepancy of two on one level, and one could be a little bit higher, one could be a little bit lower. And then Rav Acha, Brei Rava, Mahader Atrei V'Chad, he would dafka actually look for those that had two and one that was slightly off, even though that wasn't ideal. But why would he do so? Ho v'nafik mipuma de Rav Kana. Rav Kana said it, and he allowed for it. He dafka went for that shita just to show people that was correct. People like to do those things sometimes. It was said about Rav Soloveitchik, apparently, that he would dafka say, oh, there's some kashas on this, Shaila, but for karpas, for the Seder, he would dafka use a banana for karpas. That doesn't satisfy other dinim because seemingly you need a vegetable, but he'd use it to show people. People didn't know in America, people used to think, you say ha'et, it's a banana, it's a fruit, it's sweet. So any other fruit, you say ha'et, but banana, you say ha'dama. So to show people the halach of ha'dama for banana, he'd dafka use that for karpas. That's the tradition we have. So sometimes you have people doing less than ideal halachas to just prove a point, to get a certain message across. So he dafka went for one that had two on one level, one on a slightly different level, because Rav Kana said this. So the Gemara then says, Amr le mar, bar ma meimar, the Rav Ashi, Abba, lahu hadas, shote karle. He argued that it's called a hadas shote. It's called a messed up hadas. It's not correct, and you shouldn't use that. You should dafka go for those that have three all on the same level. I'm not going to recap today. It's a bit of a technical daf, but everybody have a wonderful day and a good chodesh.